When was the last time you refreshed your bedding? Sleep cooler with Avocado's naturally breathable, certified organic sheets. Choose from GOTS-certified organic cotton, linen, or hemp, all made-safe certified to the highest standards of non-toxic safety, delivering the ultimate in luxury, sustainability, and style, and a deeper, more restorative sleep. Join Avocado's mission to be one of the world's most sustainable brands at avocadomattress.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
What's up, lightweights? Welcome back. And today we have special guest, Armon.
How's it going, man?
Owner, founder, operator, the incredible, is it fast food chain considered?
We like to call it a fast casual, but I think like in the general public, I think fast casual and fast food is looked at as the same thing. So you could say fast food, yeah.
Fast food, fast casual, incredible. Dave's Hot Chicken.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
How would you stand out from the competition from back then? Because you guys had nothing.
The lucky thing for us is when we actually, so my friend Dave, who we named it after, I've known him like 18 years. And this guy has been like into food his whole life. Like he'd pull up to my house with like cookbooks. So I know he had a passion for that. I was always kind of like in the marketing space and things like that. And we love chicken, both of us. So when chicken kind of started trending in LA, for us, it was like, I'm like, well, dude, you're a great chef. You love food. You're passionate about food. I'm passionate about marketing. We both love chicken. What if we kind of strike when the iron's hot? We get together, we come up with some sort of recipe, and then just kind of see what we can do with it. And like it took a little while to convince him because, you know, the restaurant he was working at, he was moving up. So he's like, no, I don't think I want to do that. He's like, I don't want to leave something guaranteed for something like that. So it took a little convincing. But after a while, like we just kind of started, you know, mashing up a recipe at his house. Me, him, and our other founder, Tommy, who I've actually been friends with since kindergarten.
Wow.
Yeah. So the founders group, we've literally known each other. Me and Tommy, 20 plus years. Me and Dave, like 17 plus years.
I think that's the coolest thing when you have that friend group, because that's like, you always want to work with your friends.
Yeah, you do.
And you guys figured out your own business and you're the heads of it. Like,
Yeah. It's really fun, man. I mean, I think that's honestly one of the reasons we were able to kind of get so successful, especially in the pop-up stage, right? Because we don't have much going for us, right? So we worked on the recipe for like 5 months, kind of unemployed here and there besides Dave working at the restaurant.
How many tries?
Till we start, or how many like recipes? Oh, we worked on it for months, like 5-6 months. I mean, we had nothing better to do. We'd go to Dave's house, we'd cook some chicken, we'd eat it, watch some documentaries about chicken, go try somebody else's chicken, come back, make some more chicken. And that was like a daily cycle for like 5-6 months. And I think what's funny, the reason we did that is because we had no money to start the restaurant anyway. So for us, it's like, well, this is all we can do is just work on a recipe, you know? But then there was a day where like it, you know, the recipes seem really good. And we're like, well, we feel like we can improve it as much as this, at least for what we're going for.
At the time, what were you going for? Were you going just for like one pop-up, let's try and make it work?
No, actually, so when, like I said, when hot chicken was trending in LA, you couldn't, I mean, there was only a couple places to begin with, but you couldn't go anywhere without waiting in like a 2 hour line, 2.5 hour line. And we kind of thought to ourselves, like, that's not really fair. The food is so good. People want to eat it. There's so much demand for it, yet the only places you can find it is in Nashville and Los Angeles right now. And we're like, well, what if we created a version of it that we can cook really fast, which is why we do tenders only. So we know no matter how many customers come in, we don't have to take a whole order. We know that it's either a slider or it's a tender, and we can spice it the way we want and give it to them. This way we can serve really high quality fresh to make food and not have people wait in our lines. And another thing we wanted to do is we felt like, dude, this food is so good that why should it be in such small markets? Why should somebody in North Carolina not be able to have hot chicken because, you know, the people don't want to expand it? So the goal was always create something that's really flavorful, really good, really true to like what you want out of a chicken sandwich, but make it in a way that you can expand it and you won't have to mess with the quality in any way, you know?
It's so cool that exactly what you said, 6-7 years later, you guys still have that same philosophy.
A little bit, dude, yeah, because a lot of people, you know, they'll say something like, oh my God, you guys are killing it. Yes, this, and we're like, no, dude, we're still working. Like, you know what I mean? We still have, so I think right now we have 140 stores open.
Incredible.
Yeah, but we have commitments for 780 that we've sold. So if you look at that, we're not even halfway there. So for us, it's like the work is just getting started. We have to make sure that all of these stores open and everybody's happy with them. And so there's still definitely work to do. So we don't like to be like, oh yeah, we, you know, we killed it and it's over and we're the best. And it's definitely not, you know, it's definitely a marathon and not a sprint.
Coming up when you guys were selling in the parking lot space,
yeah,
what setbacks did you have, if any, and how'd you overcome them?
Well, the first setback in general was how we even got there, right? So when we had the recipe done, we kind of all looked at each other and we're like, well, how much money do we have? You know, what can we put together to start something? You know, we called a few of our other friends and we're like, hey, we have this recipe. If, you know, you guys want to invest, we can get a food truck and be like, you know, 5-6 friends in a food truck. And everybody was kind of like, nah, you know, we don't want to do that. So in the end, me, Tom, and Dave, and, you know, we're like, okay, well, how much money do we have right now? And Dave's like, well, I just got my last $400 check. I was like, well, I have like $200. And then Tommy's like, well, I have like $400 or $500. Like, I'll cover the rest, whatever it is. So we end up with a budget of like $900 to $1,000. You know what I mean? So we went and we bought literally some folding tables and stuff like that. And the day before, Tommy talked to a landlord that he knew that owned a parking lot and asked him if we could have one space just to do like a little food cart type of thing. You know what I mean? So he gave us the space. We bought a few tables. We bought a fryer, like a little, like, you know, tent. And we literally just opened up. We just posted, hey, we're open. And the first day we made like $40. And it was my girlfriend at the time that came with her friends. And that's, that's literally like how it was. And then we started like, well, the first thing we realized is like, one, this is going to be really hard to do in a parking lot. So we have to like really have a good system. So as we started to grow and as we started to get more popular, I mean, a lot of the challenges you face is obviously you're outdoors. You don't have refrigeration. You don't have electricity. You don't have so many of the comfort things you need in a restaurant. So you have to improvise all of that. You have to improvise how you're keeping your food cold. You have to improvise how you're keeping everything fresh and clean while you're cooking literally in a parking lot where there's cars going back and forth and parking. Making sure that, you know, we were three people. We'd see at our peak 400 people a night in this little pop-up, and we'd, you know, just making sure that every single person gets their food because we'd only have a certain amount of food. So you'd had to like make sure every tender was delegated to the right person. So there was definitely tons of challenge and cleaning up. I mean, dude, you literally have to clean up your restaurant. It's like having a restaurant and then having to clean it up every night, 6 days a week. And it just, it definitely like takes a toll on you after a while.
With that small circle just in that parking lot, and you guys all knew each other, kindergarten, friendship, did everyone kind of take on their own role based on what their strengths were?
Definitely. We all kind of leaned on Dave for, you know, anything culinary-wise, what we needed to know about the food, how it needed to be cooked, how it needed to be stored, how it needed to be prepped, and, you know, everything. Even though we were in a parking lot, Dave made sure, well, nothing can be on the ground. Everything has to be 6 inches. It's a, you know, it's a kitchen rule and this and that. So we depended on him for that. I was, obviously my job was to make sure that I did the branding. People knew the brand. People, you know, knew the social media. They kind of followed us. They came in. Tommy was very about the business. He was the one that secured the parking lot for us. And actually over time when we were ready to, because, you know, we did that parking lot for about 6 months, dude, 6 days a week, 6 months, three people. Our day was wake up at 9 a.m., go buy all of our supplies, prep from 9 till like 3 or 4, drive to the pop-up, set up from 4 to like 6:37, open at 7, sell till midnight, shut everything down, get home at 2 a.m., do it again.
That's a massive commitment.
Yeah. And what we understood was consistency is very key, right? Like the customers need to know that you're going to be there 6 days a week. You can't just wake up and be like, well, it's a pop-up, I don't feel like going. Because your customer's going to show up, you're not going to be there, you're going to lose that customer because you don't have that consistency and they don't have that trust that, oh, they're there. With us, it's like we missed weddings and birthdays and customers and fans knew that, dude, they're there 6 days a week, rain or shine, wind, whatever, they're there. So that was really important to us to make sure that people knew that we were going to be there like every day. So, you know, it was a lot of work though, for sure.
At that time, did you guys offer your infamous Reaper?
Yeah, we did.
As well?
Pretty early on. We initially started with mild and hot. And over time, Dave started, you know, working, because he's very, dude, Dave is.
We all want to feel our best, but let's be real. Some wellness trends are hard to stick with. Taking shots of apple cider vinegar? No thanks. Swallowing giant vitamins? Not for me. Goalie Nutrition is wellness made easy and delicious with their chewable gummies. From apple cider vinegar for digestion support to ashwagandha for stress relief, Goalie's gummies fit effortlessly into your routine. They're made with high quality ingredients, taste amazing, and are packed with essential B vitamins to help you feel your best every day. Apple cider vinegar has been used for centuries as a traditional remedy for digestion and gut health, now in a convenient gummy form. More than just ACV, from ashwagandha for stress relief, plus they're packed with essential vitamins, organic ingredients, and no artificial nonsense. No mixing, measuring, or mess. Just grab, chew, and conquer your day. Made for every lifestyle with a formula that works for you. Plus, they're made in the USA. Loved worldwide. So head to goalie.com now and get America's number one ashwagandha and apple cider vinegar gummies at an exclusive 42% off. Give them a try, risk-free. Backed by their money-back guarantee. Because wellness should be simple, effective, and delicious. Don't wait. Visit goalie.com today. Sometimes it could be hard eating healthy when you're feeling like you're giving up flavor or fun. That's where I have a food hack for you. Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and seriously delicious way to add more nutrition to your day. They're American grown, picked at peak ripeness, and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. And they have no added sugar, just fruit. As nature intended. I try to get my fruit in all fun ways, whether it's a smoothie, a salad, it's really just a treat. Frozen Washington Red Raspberries are one of the best kept secrets in the freezer aisle. They're naturally low in sugar, high in fiber, and support gut health, blood sugar balance, and overall wellness. And because they're frozen at the peak of ripeness, they deliver big-time nutrition and flavor year-round. So whether you're trying to clean up your snacks or build better meals, these berries are a total win. You can find frozen Washington Red Raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery retailers. And Costco. If you want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries, get more details on where you can grab them simply by going to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make Washington Red Raspberries a regular part of your routine. Look for product of the U.S. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredients as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. Getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. I do have a few friends who have used GLP-1, and it helps get them on the right path to sustain a healthier lifestyle. It's helped with weight loss and confidence. So if you're ready to level up your weight loss game right now, my listeners can get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with my code LIGHTWEIGHT at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use code LIGHTWEIGHT to get $50 off your first month of GLP weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today.
Like all about his spices and, you know, so he started adding and subtracting, and then he made himself a medium, and then we had like a extra hot, and then we eventually developed the Reaper.
Were people asking for it?
They were asking for it because the tradition of Nashville hot chicken is, you know, it was... The story goes, a jealous wife made it for his husband because he was cheating. So she put all these peppers in there. So when he ate it, it burned him up, right? But he actually ended up loving it so much, it became a thing.
Wow.
So the tradition of Nashville hot chicken is to be spicy. You know what I mean? So And again, the way we thought about it is, well, we want to be more of a nationwide brand, and not everybody loves spice. So the way we constructed it is between light, mild, and medium, it's very fast casual, fast food spice. Once you start hitting the hot, extra hot, and Reaper, it's like just spicy, spicy. It's not something you'd get from like a fast food restaurant. You know what I mean?
Right. 1.8 million Scoville. Can you handle it?
I definitely can't. Oh, it's fucked my stomach up. It's, dude, so when we were developing it, we used to have to eat it a lot. You know what I mean?
Cause you have to make it hotter.
You got to make it hotter. I think that thing burned a hole in my stomach after months of eating it. So right now, I'm at like a light mild, and I can't go above like a light mild or a medium. You know what I mean? So
totally.
My spice tolerance is crashed because of that Reaper.
Oh, God.
It was kind of wild, yeah.
So you mentioned that you guys were constantly at that parking lot. You missed so many big events. What other strategies or tactics did you use to build that loyal fan base? Because your social media has a cult following. You guys post a piece of chicken, get thousands and thousands and thousands of likes, comments, tags. Everyone, we have to go try this. Let's go drive. People driving from all over the country to come try it.
Definitely.
How did you, being the marketer, figure out how to grow that cult following?
Initially, I had a couple different strategies. One of them was a writer from Eater LA named Farley Elliott. So when we were developing our recipe and we were checking out all these different chicken places, anytime Farley from Eater LA would release an article, we take it very seriously because we trusted his view. But what we realized is once you'd get there, it was packed. People would just go try it out. So one of the things I thought to myself is, well, one of the first things, because obviously there's a lot of influencers, right? But I felt like as far as food influencers go, at the top of that pyramid has to be one of the main writers for Eater LA, which is Farley, right? So I figured if we can get his attention very, very early on, and we can get him to come in and try the food and write whatever kind of article about it.
Good or bad.
Good or bad. Well, hopefully good.
You know? Hopefully.
Hopefully good. But yeah. But then that'll kind of like lead down to the pyramid of all the other influencers that are like, oh, well, if Farley tried it, I want to try it and I want to try it. So early on, we had a lot of, I'd go on his Instagram and like a bunch of his pictures. And I, you know, I just tag Eater LA everywhere. And then sure enough, dude, he hit us up and he's like, yo, he's like, I hear you guys are doing something in this area. You know what I mean? In East Hollywood. And he's like, I'd love to come check it out. And we knew exactly, so we're like, yeah, please come by. And I'll never forget, dude, he came and he had no idea it was a pop-up. He came and he looked and it was like a tent and three of us in the middle of the night, like one fryer. And at that time, our fryer was super, it made like five orders every 15 minutes. Like that's how small it was. And he was like, dude, what is this? Like, he's like, this is it? He's like, why this? So we kind of just explained to him how much we love chicken, how much we love our food, and we want to give it to people. And we didn't have the means to do it any other way, so we did it like this. So he's like, all right, let me try the food. And he tried it. And what's interesting is, like, he wasn't like, oh, my God, this is amazing. He was like, wow. He ate it, and he asked us some questions. And then he just went home. And then the next morning we wake up, and I'm with Dave and Tommy. And we're like, dude, what are the chances that he might have wrote an article about us? You know, like, what if we just check it out? Dude, we checked Google and the headline said East Hollywood's late night chicken stand will blow your mind. And the stuff he wrote in there, it's like you couldn't have paid somebody to write a better art. He's like just the bootstrapping they're doing and this and that and make sure you get there. And that in itself was like an accomplishment to us. But then we get to our pop-up that day, dude, and there's literally like 75 people standing in line waiting. And like I said, we have a fryer that makes 4 to 5 orders every 20 minutes. So you can imagine like how hectic that day was. But we were blown away because that was our fourth, fifth day in business. You're making $50, $70, and you're happy with it. And you show up and there's 90 people in line. And then at that point, another thing with marketing that I'd always tell Dave and Tom is like, it's easy to get people to come in. It's not hard to market something and get people to come in and try it. The main thing is we deliver when they come in. You deliver on hospitality. You deliver on the food. You deliver on if the customer doesn't have a good experience or a good meal, replace it. Do something. You know what I mean? You can get the customer to come in. It's keeping them. That's the hard part. So for us, it was like, yeah, we can bring them in, but we keep them when they're here. We give them love when they're here so they come back. So that was a lot of the strategy. And then it worked perfectly because all the other influencers after Farley slowly started to just kind of come in. And then the following builds and more people come in, you make sure they love the food, and it just kind of becomes a snowball effect from there.
It's so cool that you have that philosophy, because I truly believe that with businesses, it's from the top down. And I've been to so many different Dave's Hot Chickens all over.
Yeah.
And they all have that same type of philosophy to make sure that the customer is happy.
Yeah, dude. Because it's about the customer, dude. I mean, if every customer stopped coming in, it doesn't matter how cool you are. It doesn't matter how fast you grew. It doesn't. If they stop coming in, that's your bread and butter, is the people. And who do you really even do? What are you making the food for anyway? You're not making it just to blow. You're making it so people could eat it and love it. And then you're hoping that that takes you where you want to go. But the, you know, I always tell them, like, if you're a basketball player, you don't worry about how you come out there dressed and your tattoos and your knee pad. You worry about how you play. So as a restaurant, we don't need to focus on, like, how cool can we be and how hip can we be. And no, just focus on how good is our food. And the better the food, the cooler you'll be in people's eyes, because you'll be delivering on the promise that you tell them, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it was a lot of that, you know?
When you saw those 70-100 people waiting for you guys after that Eater article, did something kind of come over you thinking we're doing something right?
Definitely, dude. And our dads were there too, and they all looked at us and they were like,
"Yeah,
oh my god!" And they were we were nervous because we'd never seen that many people waiting, and we didn't know if we can get all of them orders. But it's then we realized that if we got Farley to come in and love the food so much that he had to write that kind of article, and the next day this many people trusted it and came back, and everybody's giving us love and everybody's enjoying the food, it's like unless we fuck it up, unless we just get in our heads and we're like, well, yeah, let's just milk this. I'm like, we can't fuck it up. If we stay focused, if we keep the same mindset about the food, the people, and expanding the right way and having good operations so the consistency stays good throughout all the stores, there's no reason we shouldn't maintain all these customers. There's no reason they shouldn't come back.
Right.
You know?
Fast forward that 9 months, you guys open up your first store.
Yeah.
How thrilled were you to get out of that parking lot?
Oh, dude, extremely thrilled. Because we started in May, and towards the end of it, we were in, like, December, and it was freezing. Like, there are stories we tell where there was nights that it was so cold when we were cleaning up that each of us got to take 10-minute breaks inside the van to heat up. Oh, and then we'd come back out, and then the other person would heat up, and because it was freezing and we had to, like, clean up. So we were ready to get out of there, but I mean, we had only saved up enough money, like, you know, we had saved up a certain amount to buy a location. And then that's when Tommy's older brother Gary came in, who, again, we've known obviously since kindergarten. And he was obviously a little older than us. He was a little more experienced in business. So he said, well, he's like, I can offer to, you know, invest with you guys and help you guys open up your first store and partner up with you guys. And so that was kind of perfect because, like I said, he was kind of like that mature person we needed in the group. And he brought the funding we needed to open our first store. So we just, you know, we brought him along. And, you know, he was a honorary founder anyway because he was Tommy's brother. So we started looking for our first store, and we found one. We found a couple spots that we almost signed off on that were terrible because we were just so desperate to get out of that parking lot, right? Because you're like, dude, it can't be worse than being in a parking lot. But our Western location kind of popped up out of nowhere, like, last second, and we all visited, and we're like, wow, this feels great. This kind of feels like what our first store should be. It's close by our pop-up. And then we just, like, took it, and we bought it, and renovated it up, and just started. I think we opened January 1st.
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code LIGHTWEIGHT. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and can take you to the mood that you're looking for. Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help get you in the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And it ships discreetly to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations. Not only is every Mood product backed by 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code LIGHTWEIGHT. So head to Mood.com, find your functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code LIGHTWEIGHT when you check out to save 20% off on your first order.
A healthy life starts with great sleep. Wake refreshed with Avocado's GOTS Certified Organic Green Mattress, delivering breathable, back-loving support, natural materials from Avocado's own sustainable wool and latex farms, easy financing, a one-year sleep trial, and deep, restorative slumbers. Organic sleep awaits at avocadomattress.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
When you guys were renovating it, did you keep in mind, what if we want to blow this up into many locations? Yeah. Do we want to fit the same theme? Does it still have the same theme?
Yeah, we thought of all of that. We definitely thought, we don't want a cookie cutter brand. We don't want to have these like white walls, and we don't want every store to look exactly the same, but we want them to have a similar theme. So we brought in our friend Splatterhouse that we'd been friends with for a long time, great artists. And we kind of discussed it, an initial design for the first store that we could use on every other store, which was you leave a few walls white so it's not claustrophobic. You pick a couple main walls that you do art on. Then you have kind of like your filler art. And whatever, you know, if you're opening up in... So, for instance, we one of our locations opened up where they do like a lot of IndyCar racing. And the franchisee literally paid $40,000 for almost a scale IndyCar to put inside the store. So every store that's nearby something that's kind of historic, we'll make sure we incorporate that into the design. So that way it's like every Dave's kind of has the same feeling, but everybody has their own unique store. And even as a franchisee, it's amazing for them because they have, you know, they're like, oh, what's your store look like? Oh, what's yours? Oh, I got this one in mind. Oh, next theme, I'm going to do this and this. So it becomes really fun for them, and it's cool for the customer, I believe, also, because you walk in and you get to see artwork, and you know, you're not just looking at white walls. So it's more of like a cool vibe.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
With being in Los Angeles now, you open up your first flagship. What kind of celebrities had tried the chicken? Who endorsed it? Who was excited about it? Who really believed in you guys?
Dude, honestly, tons, man. Like, when we were in the parking lot, like, all kinds of celebrities. Like, and sometimes we wouldn't even know it. Like, another customer like, did you know who that was? And do you know who that was? Because we were, like, so in the zone. Obviously, Drake is one of our investors in the company. Really early on, he tried the food. And he kind of, like, invested early on. And, like, as a little bit of a spokesperson also for the brand. Samuel L. Jackson is one of the investors of the brand. Owner of the Red Sox, chairman of the Red Sox, one of the investors. So those guys actually loved it enough to invest. But as far as, I mean, here's what I always tell our employees also. I'm like, when somebody comes in that's famous, let's say, and you like them, it's not okay to go take pictures with them, or it's not okay to do that, because what you're going to do is you're going to cause like a chain ball effect where then now customers are going to want to take a picture with them and him. And I'm like, think about it. He's hungry. He's here to get food. So he's probably not in the best mood. So the last thing he probably wants to do is stand there and take pictures with everybody while somebody's making his food. He's not going to feel comfortable coming back to that store. I'm like, you need to treat every customer the same, just with a lot of respect, a lot of love, regardless if they're, you know, the most famous person in the world or just a regular customer. But you shouldn't make them feel uncomfortable by like, hey, I want to take a picture with you. You know what I mean? Because not everybody enjoys that, and not everybody wants to be put on blast in the stores. But because I remember one time at Fairfax, they had this holding where like, Armand, guess what we're doing? I'm like, what? Like, we're taking a picture with every celebrity that comes in. I was like, oh, I'm like, please don't. I'm like, please, guys. It's like, we're going to make a wall. And I was like, don't. Just I'm like, don't. I'm like, we're not like a 1990s pizzeria. We don't need pictures of all the celebrities that came in on our walls, you know? So, but dude, like, I mean, you'll see people, like Jessica Alba is a really good friend of ours, a really big fan. And I mean, sometimes I'll go through the Instagram and I'll see some of the people that tagged it, and I'm like blown away because they're people that I grew up knowing my whole lives. And like, so there's definitely a lot of celebrity people that love the food, which is crazy.
With you being that high up in the company, exactly that, how do you keep your message throughout the 700 possible locations coming out?
Yeah.
You don't go to every single one.
No.
Does that bleed through? Do you have like franchisee meetings where you...
So we have like a really big team, right? So after Dave's Western, we met Bill Phelps and John Davis, who are these, you know, they're really big restaurateurs. John Davis is actually a movie producer also. And they loved the concept and they kind of came in, they met us. And before that, we had tons of people approaching us anyway to expand the brand. You know, but with these guys, we felt a really good vibe with them. It was very friendly, it was very jokey, and they were very experienced. So we, over the course of time, partnered up with them. And a lot of the help of how the stores run so well and how the food stays so consistent is really the team, right? The people that Bill and John brought in, like, you know, Jim and Juan and our presidents and the operations and the training teams. You know, they're literally like, you might open 8 stores in 1 week. And obviously, you have to go train all 8 stores. So for us, it's impossible. But the team that we've put together over time, you have like a training group of like 100 people and 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. They're going everywhere and they're training and they know the manuals and stuff. And it's literally impossible to do without a really good team.
Like, how do you handle that bad egg, though, that somehow comes in?
We have very few, if any, bad eggs, dude. So the vetting process for Dave's Hot Chicken is very strict because usually a company that's as successful as Dave's, even branding-wise, usually won't franchise out. They'll just open their own stores and they'll do their own expansion. For us, because that was the idea we had anyway, and we're always the kind of people that are like, well, we'd rather share it and make it bigger than keep it to ourselves and just grow slow. Every franchisee goes through a vetting process, first of all, with like our corporate team, which is Bill, John, everybody. And they're the ones that'll grill him with all the like professional stuff. Well, what have you done? What do you do? And then they'll meet with the founders and we're more chill. And we're just like, yeah, what do you do for fun, dude? And like, what do you like? What movies are you into? And we'll kind of judge them like that. So you get this. Usually the franchisees that will make it through were smart enough to get through the corporate interview and then down to earth enough to get through the interview with the founders. And we'll, you know, we don't franchise to anybody that's not a multi-unit owner anyway. So they need to have at least 10 stores that they're operating currently to even qualify.
Of other businesses?
Restaurants, not even other businesses. So, because, dude, you'd be like, people would come in and they're like, well, yeah, I have 90 Dunkin' Donuts and I have 20 Sonics. And, this, and you're like, well, yeah, you can definitely run a Dave's, but now let me see what your personality is like. Let me see how I vibe with you because we have to work together for the next 20, God knows how many years, right? So you could be a great operator, but if, you know, we don't have that good chemistry, it's not going to work. Which has actually led to like the company and the franchise. I mean, I haven't been a part of many franchise companies, obviously, but the energy I feel between all of our franchisees, the corporate team and the founders, it's like just a vibe. Like everybody's just like friends, everybody's just happy. And I always ask them, I'm like, is it like this at your other concepts? And they're like, dude, not even close. Like it's not, it's just, it's nothing like this, you know, because everybody's really on the same page. Everybody's on the same mindset. Everybody loves the brand and they just want to help the brand grow. So it, you know, it works out pretty well.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's dope, man. We, you know, like I said, there's usually one or two. They're not bad eggs, but they'll be people like, well, I don't want to pay for too much artwork. And, you know, well, I don't want to do this. And you have to kind of be like, look, dude, it's part of the brand. Like, it's part of the experience. Like, you can't just not have artwork in your store, right? You can't be the one Dave's that doesn't have artwork or, you know. So there'll be things like that, but they're usually very understanding as to why we do things the way we do them.
How do you handle and adapt to evolving food trends? I know recently you guys just started offering cauliflower.
Yeah, that was my idea.
Oh yeah? It's delicious.
You know, I used to be so against it too, dude. Like I'm a really big fan of In-N-Out, and my motto had always been don't change anything on the menu, leave it the way it is, serve what you serve in a really good way.
I was gonna ask if In-N-Out inspired your only chicken tenders.
Oh yeah, it was a big part of the inspiration for sure. Another part of it was because we love chicken, we realized, I mean, there's only really 2 ways to eat chicken, right? You eat it with your hands and you dip it in stuff, or you eat it in a sandwich, and with a tender you can kind of do both. So we're like, well, it's perfect, it cooks in 6 minutes, you can eat it by hand, you can eat it in a sandwich, it's the breast, it's a great tasting part of the chicken. Everybody loves tenders, there's not too many people that don't love tenders. So there was a lot of that thought process into it, but also definitely the fact that because In-N-Out only serves one thing, they're able to make it perfect every time. So we felt if we only had one thing to make, then we can make it as perfect as possible every time. So
Totally.
That was like a little bit of a thought process. Plus, tenders are my favorite. So I was like,
mine too.
Dave wanted to do thighs. I was like, man.
Ah, wings. No.
Thighs, wings. Come on, man.
No.
We definitely wouldn't be doing this podcast right now. I tell you that.
You made my fiance so happy with the cauliflower because she got the flu shot and she became allergic to chicken.
Really?
So she can't have any poultry. She can't have eggs.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. That's wild, dude.
The doctors think that there was too much of something in the shot. So when she saw that you guys announced that, she was finally able to have that Dave's again.
That's perfect.
Dude,
I hope not too many people are getting flu shots that stop them from eating chicken, dude. That business would be bad, dude. People don't get flu shots. Toughen out your immune systems now. No, the cauliflower is, I mean, people always, because, dude, when we developed the recipe, we developed it with Dave's roommate, John, who was a vegetarian, and he didn't eat any chicken, and he always was dying to try it, right? But he doesn't eat it. So especially when we introduced that, he was like, oh my God. Because the way I thought about it is like, it's not really going away from your core product necessarily. It's offering a version of it that tastes very similar. The texture is very similar. And it's a cauliflower. A lot of people will, you know, do these Beyond Meat and this and that. And you still don't know how many ingredients are in that really, right? You don't know what really goes into that. You know what goes into a cauliflower. It's cauliflower.
Even from with my food videos, I learned that a lot of people who can't have the food or don't want to have the food still watch the videos because they want to see what it looks like. They want to see how other people react to it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I was dealing with I got food poisoning when I was in Toronto and I couldn't eat for like a day or two. And all I was doing was watching Dave's hot chicken videos. And I was like, oh, my God. And I knew I couldn't have any because it would, like, mess me up. But I was like, dude, this is – and I can see why people do that because the way people eat it in these videos, you're just like, Jesus. I'm like, just give me a Dave sandwich right now, dude.
Yeah.
So, you know, we love that. We definitely lean into that. We love the authentic – you know, we – I have this thing where I'm like, we should – you know, I love giving influencers a lot of love. I'm like, but we shouldn't – pay them to make the video saying they love Dave's because it's very unauthentic. And I think any regular person that uses social media can look at a post and hear the way somebody's talking about the food and can immediately tell, oh, this is branded, this was paid for. Versus a majority of our stuff are literally just people buying it, eating it, and then tagging us. You know what I mean? So it's really cool, man. It's kind of flattering, like how much people really like the food.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's dope, dude.
It's that cold following.
Yeah, it is, man. It's the cold following. Everyone, you know, all these companies, you know, you look at them, they try to build it, but I think they kind of go about it the wrong way because they're trying to build a cult following. Whereas I feel like with Dave's, like I said, first, like, well, focus on the food. If the food is good, they're going to love you, dude, because that's the game you're in. If you're a basketball player, like I said, if you're a basketball player and you suck, no one's going to like you. If you're good, everyone's going to like you regardless of how you look, dress, whatever you're wearing. Same with food. You could have all the artwork in the world. You could have all the celebrity endorsers in the world. You could have Drake screaming at the top of his lungs, get Dave's. But if somebody comes in, they try the food and it's not good, they're not going to come back. They don't care who's endorsing it. They're not going to think you're cool. They're going to look around. They're gonna be like, this artwork sucks, dude. But if they love the food, they look around. They're like, oh my God, look at this artwork. It's so cool. So it just all goes back to the food. And I feel like a lot of other companies, they don't focus on it. To them, it's all about everything else. Oh, what's this? What's the unit? It's like, dude, you're a restaurant, dude. Like, your job is to serve good food. Like, why are you worrying about all of these other aspects, you know? So I feel like that's also kind of like kept this going also.
Totally. I mean, the food is incredible, but the restaurant concept too is like, I want to take you to a Dave's Hot Chicken. I want you to see it. It's fun.
Yeah, right? It's cool.
It's an experience.
And the cool thing is, like I said, each one is different. So it's not like once you've seen one, you've seen them all. Like, there's literally every Dave's Hot Chicken in every state and every, and we're in Dubai now too, in Qatar.
Wow.
And we're in Toronto. Yeah. And you go to those stores and every store just looks, all the artwork is different. Everybody has a different theme. And we have this recurring theme in every store where we do a Rubber Chicken Dave as a different character. So in some stores, it's like a Tupac Dave. And it's like a Biggie Dave and then like Star Wars Dave. So my dream was that always, like, when people kind of like realize that it would be this thing to visit all these different stores and see like, oh, what artwork does this one have? And what do they have here? And, you know, so it definitely ties into the brand also.
Has anyone ever passed out from the Reaper Dave's Hot Chicken?
Oh, yeah. Dude, actually, the Reaper now is nowhere as spicy as it used to be.
Did you ever have to sign a waiver?
You did have to sign a waiver. What happened is this couple came in one time, and the The girl got Reaper and the guy got Extra Hot, and the girl signed the waiver, and I guess they had switched their food.
Yeah.
The food got switched, so the guy ate the Reaper, and our manager was like his first week. So he came and he's like, "Are you okay? Do you want me to call an ambulance?" And this guy was like, "Yeah, I need an ambulance." So they called an ambulance for this guy. They took him, and then we had to pay his entire hospital bill and all this stuff. So we kind of had a meeting and we're like, "Dude, we're expanding really fast. You know, there's definitely going to be some more situations like this. And if we have to pay out everybody that goes to the emergency room, it's not going to be cool."
Yeah.
So we like mutually decided to dull down the Reaper just a little bit, because it used to be really bad.
Did you have milk on hand?
We did have milk on hand. Just the manager, I'm telling, the manager was new. So if it was an experienced manager, he would have came and he's like, "Look, dude, you're going to be fine. It's just spice. Let me give you some milk. Let me give you some water. You're just going to call." But the manager panicked. He's like, "Do you want an ambulance?" And of course I want. Of course give me an ambulance, dude. Pay for it too, dog. So we had to, you know, we had to tone it down a little bit after that.
That's great.
So, you know, you got to think about the expansion, dude. You know, you're going to have so many stores in so many different states. And if once a week you're getting a call from a franchisee that somebody's in the hospital for Reaper, you know, you're going to go bankrupt pretty soon, dude.
One final story. Can you just explain to me how the Drake deal went down?
Yeah. So, at the time, I mean, when we first started the company, we had a little small pool of percentage that we obviously, like, you know, sold to different investors. And one of our really higher up investors, he kind of, you know, he's like, "Is there any way I can get more? Is there any way I can get more?" And at the time, we were kind of looking for like a celebrity endorser, somebody that can come into the brand and, you know, be a little bit of like, you know, the spokesperson of it.
What level of celebrity were you aiming for?
For me, like, I didn't, you know, John and Bill had that like strategy and they'd used it before and it works really well, right? It's cool to bring in somebody that loves the brand as a celebrity that's going to vouch for the brand because they're a fan of it, right? So, you know, they suggested, and I was down for anybody, dude. I mean, I think we considered Kevin Hart at one point and then like it didn't work out and I was sad because I love Kevin Hart. And then I think the guy said Bon Jovi and I was like, I love Bon Jovi, but I don't think he's the best fit for the brand. And then he was like, "Well, I can get Drake." And we're like, "Well, like maybe,
but we should have a meeting."
Yeah. We're like, "Well, if you can get," we're like, "if you know, if like, that's a pretty perfect fit for the company." You know what I mean? We're like, "That's a guy, you know, that's a person that's kind of at our, you know, creative level, our demographic. It's all the same people love him that love Dave's." So we're like, we'd mess with that. So we started talking to him a little bit. And I remember we sent, he was in LA recording and we only had one store that time. And we sent some food over to his studio. And I think they kind of called back and they're like, "Yeah, let's we want to be a part of the company." So, and they're cool as hell, man. I mean, they're obviously busy and they do their own thing. But every time we need them to do something, they're posting it. Last year on Drake's birthday, we literally gave away free sliders to anybody that came in the store. I think we gave around like 60,000, a bunch of sliders out.
Every location?
Yeah, every nationwide location on Drake's birthday, people got to go in and get a free slider.
Incredible.
Yeah, so we do things like that. We'll probably do it again this year, you know. So, and that's how he came on board. He you know, heard about the brand, he loved the food, and kind of jumped on.
Do you know his birthday? Because I need to write it down.
Fuck, I don't know his birthday.
Okay, I'll find
I'm going to guess October. It's sometime. October's very own. I'm guessing it's sometime in October, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Well, Arman, thanks so much for coming on.
Dude, are you kidding? Of course, man. It's been my pleasure, man.
So great seeing you.
To talk. Yeah, thank you very much.
So Dave's Hot Chicken locations all over the West Coast.
Yes.
Qatar, Dubai.
Yes.
East Coast?
Yeah, we have New York. We have, I think, in Maine. We have... we've got a ton, dude. I kind of lost count of like the different states we're in, but we're definitely on the East Coast. We're also in Illinois. We're in Orlando. We're out there, man. We're all around the states, which is pretty cool. So if you're listening from anywhere, I'm sure there's a Dave's Hot Chicken near you. And if not, then there'll definitely be one coming soon.
Go try it. If you haven't had it, you're missing out.
Please go try it.
Awesome. Thanks, Arman.
Dude, thank you, man. This was great.
All right. Lightweights out.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.